Good morning, everybody. You know, I noticed myself, I really have a hard time standing behind the pulpit. I like the pulpit. Edmund did a good job on it. I have a hard time being behind it. Step away from it. But good morning, everybody. You know, let's go to Psalm 51 today. And you know, as I was seeking the Lord on some things this morning, praying about some things this morning, you know, it's a place. Well, I'm just going to start reading. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." You know, David's coming to the Lord. He's coming to the Lord and he is repenting to the Lord. And in this place that he's repenting, man, he is recognizing his own failures. He recognizes his own sin. He's recognized what he has done against the Lord. And the thing is that in none of these things where he's crying out to the Lord is he yet justifying himself in it. Not at once is he blaming the people. Not at once is he blaming the Lord. Not at once he's blaming any of these things. The things that he has done, he is telling the Lord, and he's being straightforward with him and saying, "This is where I'm at, Lord." And he's going to the only place that can wash him. He's going to the only place that can forgive him. He's going to the only place that can blot out his transgression. He's going to the only place, and that is the Lord, Jesus Christ. Or at that time wasn't given his name to God. I'm going to continue reading. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Look, you see where David's coming to the Lord. He's coming to the Lord with the place that he knows the only place where he can get washed and he can get cleansed and he can, all the transgressions can be blotted out that is set against him is the Lord. I mean, that's the only place where you can find that. It's the only place where you can find that. And as we go and as we walk and as I was reading this prayer this morning, you know, that's the only place I can find it. That's the only place I can find it. And I know it's not something that I can do. I mean, if you look at David crying out to the Lord right here, do you see that it's something that he can do? That he can make right? That he can redeem? That he can purge himself or him be washed and be whiter than snow? Is this anything that he can do of himself? No. But he does know somebody that can, and that is the Lord. That is the Lord. And when he's coming to him, he has a hope that the Lord will do just this. That the Lord will do just that.
He has a hope.
I know when David at this time, if you read the story of David, you would see where David was not in presumption in these things either. You can see where David, when he was going down and he was going to go take the kingdom back or let others kind of take the kingdom back for it after his son had overran him and these kinds of things. And he says, what does he say? He says to one of the other servants of his, he says, look, if the Lord still finds favor in his sight against, you know, finds favor in sight for me, then we will prevail. But if not, well, the Lord is righteous. Well, the Lord is righteous. Look, and David didn't come to that place of just presuming that he was all right. Oh, I'm the king of David. Oh, the Lord has to do this for me. No, he had a hope. He had a hope in what the Lord would do. And see, there's a big difference in the sense of where David came from, where, you know, we come to a place where we can believe that God can do all kinds of things, right? I mean, we have an understanding that he spoke things into existence. We have an understanding that, you know, he can work mighty miracles. He's split the Red Sea, you know, and all these things. We have all these things. But when it comes down to us actually believing it for ourselves, and what I mean by that is for your own person. See, it's easy for me to believe that the Lord is going to work mightily in somebody else's life. All right, and redeem the time, okay? And I mean, it's easy, but when it comes down to me, and when I see my own sin right before me, when I see my own depravity, when I see my own just failure right before my face, and just me absolutely messing things up, okay? I can get into a place where I am like, man, I know the Lord can. I know the Lord can, but I don't know if he will. I don't know if he will. Now, it's retarded of me to think that that is the case, because yet he has shown up for me time and time again, and yet I don't want to sit there and, let me put it this way, I don't want to, do I keep on sinning that grace may abound? God forbid. That's the only way I know how to really put it. It's the only really way I know how to put it. But to understand the nature and the character of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, is that not only can he will. Okay? Not only can he, but he will. You know, I know that, for an example, I have a father that loved me. I know that, Vernie Hawkins is actually talking to Steve. Steve brought this point up to me yesterday. And my father is not perfect. Okay? And my father is evil, okay, by nature and all these things. But I know there was a time where he came to me and he said, you know, son, I don't want to bury you. I don't want to bury you. That's not right. You should be the one doing that for me. And for my father to actually see what the Lord has done in my life and where I am at today compared to where I was at then, he is grateful. I mean, he's beyond grateful. He's ecstatic about it. He's amazed at it. He's awestruck at it. Alright, and that's really a mighty thing and a mighty testimony of what the Lord has done with me. But we have a perfect, loving Father. In Him is light, and there is what? No darkness at all. Okay, no darkness at all. So, you know, when you come to this place and the Lord really, you get His attention, folks, when you come to Him honest and broken before Him. You really get His attention because that's a place where He goes, now I can work with that. Because you recognize within yourself you have nothing to offer. You recognize within yourself you can do nothing right. You recognize within yourself you can't do anything, and you what you have to offer is nothing. Okay, you come to that place. And then where does your hope and all these things, where do you put that in? Only by the blood of Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He's able to do. That is your only hope. That is your only hope. And when you can actually come to that place, the Lord will be able to redeem the time, forgive you, and do a mighty work. And He will strengthen you by His Spirit in the inner man. It is an amazing thing of what the Lord can do. But you see here where David is praying in the sense of, in this place of, it's only something that the Lord could do. See, David is at that place of which I am describing. That his only hope is in the Lord. His only hope is in the Lord. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Once again, it's not something that David can do, manufacture, come up of himself. It's something that he is going to the Lord about. Remember, which scripture is it? I think it's in Philippians where he talks about it is. It's even of him that he gives us the will of his good pleasure. I mean, what is it that we really have to offer, folks? We don't really have anything to offer within ourselves. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. And see, when you come to that place, man, that's where you can really, the Lord could really start working with you and start being able to do these things that David is asking of the Lord to do. I don't know about you, I need a clean heart because mine's filthy. You know what? I need to be purged with hyssop because I'm full of garbage. I need to be washed because I am dirty. And he's willing to do all of these things. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, but uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So once again, when this thing happens, when the Lord performs this for David, and creates in him a clean heart, and renews a right spirit within him, and blot out all his iniquities, and washes him, and makes him whiter than snow, and does all these things, you know what he's going to do? He's going to teach who? Transgressors. Those that transgress against the Lord, He's going to teach them whose ways? The Lord's ways. You know how He's going to teach them the Lord's ways? Because He will know the Lord's ways when this happens. And He's going to know where the source is. And where is He going to do? He says, and sinners shall be what? Converted unto thee. That means the sinners, those that are unbelief, that do not believe the Lord, that have nothing to do with Him, will be converted unto the Lord. Because quite frankly, it's going to be the Lord that does this for them, just like the Lord has done for David. See, David is a great example of the grace of God, and the grace of God upon David that others may have it as well. That you may have it as well. That I may have it as well. It's not something that the Lord is holding back from you. It's not. It really comes to you receiving it and even believing the fact that you might need it. See, in that in itself can be a defense unto thee, unto you. And it ought not to be. It ought not to be. Yeah, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. What gets lifted up? The gospel. Who gets lifted up in this? Jesus. And it's not just getting lifted up because you're a sinner. It's getting lifted up because He is awesome. And if He could save a sinner like me, then He can save a sinner like you. Because He's good. And then you have it backed up by His power. See, we all have a testimony. That testimony is what? That testimony is not a testimony of you. It's not. It's a testimony of Him. And what He's able to do. See, people can look at it that way, but it's the wrong way to look at it. And I have to tell people that is the wrong way to look at it. When they see my life and they see how it's been transformed and they seen the power of God work mightily and restore and redeem all those messed up things about me and all the crap that I have done. And brought me a family which I thought I'd never have. And put me from the place where my dad did not want to bury me. And pleading in me saying, please change. You will die, son. I don't want to see you die. To him seeing me where I'm at today, it's a 180 degree difference. And that is not to the glory of me, folks. That is the glory of the Lord and His mighty power working in my life. And see, that's the testimony that I have. That's the testimony that you should have. And see, then you can take that testimony, you can bring it to others, and that they can see it, and they could say, I want that too. And you say, you can. Let me introduce it as the one who can do this for you. His name is Jesus. See, but all, we all ought. There's so much that we are looking for ourselves to be somehow lifted up. We're looking for ourselves to be of a great testimony of great things that we have done. No, our testimony is, man, we are a failure. We have screwed up. We have messed up. But my Lord, my Savior saved me and turned that messed up situation right side up. And that's nothing to be ashamed of, folks. That's nothing to be ashamed of. That's exactly who people need to see, is Jesus. That is the only one that can save them. Just as we were reading, that was the only one that could save David. See, that needs to be lifted up. He needs to be lifted up. But if you're too ashamed of how you look in the midst of this situation, or you're too ashamed of how much you have failed, or if you're too ashamed of all these things, and you're ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ in the sense because it makes you look so bad, well then, you know what? That's all about you, and it's just pride. And then the others won't ever get to hear of that great testimony and be able to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to rob people of that. You know, the Lord talks about in the scripture about the man with the talent. And one digs it up and hides it. And see, what you don't realize is that's what you do when you are too ashamed of the testimony, because you have absolutely messed up, screwed up, but the Lord has turned it upside down. Then you hide that talent that the Lord's given you. You hide that thing, that great precious thing that the Lord has given that can actually be the thing that helps somebody else receive that free gift. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Look, these things aren't what the Lord delights in. This thing isn't going to be the thing that pays the price for you. It's actually because of what Jesus did, it paid the price for you. But it's nothing of what you can do that is going to be sufficient. It's nothing of what you can do that is going to suffice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That is kind of like the place that I was talking about where you know you're broken. And I looked up this word broken this morning. And the word broken means to be broken, crushed. You know, I think of broken spirit as a horse, but in this sense, I'm thinking of, Lord, I have nothing. Lord, have mercy on me. Beat on my chest. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me. I think of broken. You recognize your own depravity. You recognize your need for Him. And Jesus looks down and says, man, I'll cover you. I paid the price for that. I laid down my life for you. I bled for that. Here you go. Here's my righteousness. I'm going to cover you. And so when the Father looks down upon you, what does He see? He sees His Son, Jesus, and what? In whom He is well pleased. It's simply because you're just trusting in the sufficiency of what Jesus has done. That's what it comes down to. Now the thing that we offer up so much, you know, if you look at, I think it's in Matthew 7 where it says, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And I hope I didn't mess that up. I probably did. But the point is, the things that we offer is so much, so much, just pride and iniquity and what I can do, Lord. Look what I'm doing for you, Lord. Man, none of that suffices. I mean, what is it that we have to offer that is acceptable unto Him? Look, man, it's nothing that we have to offer. It's the thing that is given to us that we have to offer that's acceptable. I mean, whereof do we have to boast? Really? He gives us what? His faith? All right, was that yours? No, but He gives it to us because He loves us. He's a loving Father. All right, Check one. Don't have nothing to boast on that. That's not something I can offer. That's just something I can receive. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's go look at his love real quick. Is this love or is your love something we can offer? No, that's not acceptable. I mean, that is absolute just filios nonsense, how you make me feel and how I make you feel. That's all that is. That's what we have to offer. None of that is not good. But if we receive Jesus' love, that is something to offer. Once again, is that something that we have or is it something that we yet receive from him? Boom, it's something that we yet receive of him. Why? Because he's a loving father. And he wants to give us these things. It's amazing. He gives us his power. Once again, is that something that we come up of our own selves? Are we the ones that can heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, speak things into existence, any of these things, perform miracles? No, that's not something we can do, not at all. That's something he can do, but that's something yet we can receive and yet walk in. That's amazing. Why? Because he's a loving father. He's a loving father. And see, these things are freely given to all of us if we will but just receive them. Why? Because he wants you to go forward and minister the gospel to those that are without, those that don't know him. And how we do that is we preach his word. We testify of his doings. Has nothing to do with you. Praise God. Except for the fact that I'm a dirty, rotten, scoundrel, scumbag, son of a gun who needs a savior. That's all. That's it. And he has yet saved me and shown mighty works in my life and done many wonderful things. And all I could say is, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And what happens is, man, when that light shines on our dark heart, man, it's a process that we go through. Because a lot of times we don't even recognize or we don't even realize how bad we are of a sinner. We don't even come to that conclusion. And the Lord doesn't show us all at once because, quite frankly, we could not handle it. So what gets to happen, I mean, that worker of iniquity, that all those things that are not of him starts to get exposed. Those things that you thought were so precious, so right, so dear unto you. And when they get exposed by the light and you see that they're worthless, they're filthy rags, they're nothing. You know what? That's where we just get shed of it. And say, thank you, Lord. Because he wants that out so he can pour in more of his spirit, his love, his power, his faith in there. That's got to come out. He was talking about that purge me with hyssop. Man, that's free. That's what I look at, that purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was something that you could grow and you could get your hands on. It was just wild. So it was available to whom? Everybody. Amazing. Amazing. That's the same way the Lord is. He's not a respecter of persons. It's there available for you to yet have. It really is. And when that thing comes and it goes and that light shines and you see that, that is garbage. Lord, that is ugly. Lord, that is nasty. I didn't realize that. Lord, how can you love me? How can you have mercy upon me? How can you have me set to be your minister? Man, that is terrible. And we can walk around like, man, we come to that conclusion for real and honest. Man, I mean, it could be quite dreadful. I know. I go through it often. And the whole thing is that the Lord, it's not a surprise unto the Lord. He knew this about me. It just at the time, I was not ready to hear it. It was be too much for me. But then there comes a time and a place where it comes about, and look, Phil, become more effective. You got to get rid of this. Yeah, Lord, it's ugly. Take it. I don't want it. And then what is it that I have to offer or to tell people about is the Lord is good. Once again, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord is able to do. Look at the Lord's love. Look at that. That is awesome. That is awesome. And so it becomes a lot less about me or what I have to offer or my own wisdom or my own understanding or my own knowledge. It becomes so much less of any of that. And it's all becomes more about Him. And it really needs to be all about Him, quite frankly. That's what it really needs to be about. And I know this old man, the freedom that we have is this old man is never going to change, folks. This old man is what it is. It's that enmity with God. It will never change. It just grows nastier and nastier and nastier and nastier as the years go on. That's what happens. And yet, the Lord has given us a new man to live in. That's Him. Where our soul does not have to abide in that old corruptible thing that's going down to the ground and wants to drag your soul down with it. He's given us freedom from that. And He's given us liberty in Him. Where you know what? We don't have to take that phone call anymore. We don't have to listen to that old man anymore. We don't have to be in a league with that anymore. But yet we can be in league with Him. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. But what holds us back, man, is just us simply receiving those good things. Letting go of that pride. Letting go of that justification. Letting go of the things that you think are so dear and awesome and the things that you do somehow are qualified or acceptable. Man, letting all that go because that is nothing, man. It's you just becoming honest with between you, yourself, and the Lord. And you get down and honest with Him. And you then receive all those good things that He has for you. You repent. You turn around. You confess unto the Lord these things. And say, Lord, look, I broke it. I broke it. Once again, Lord, I messed it up. Please fix it. Here's my heart. It's dirty. Please clean it up. I'm a lousy servant, Lord. I don't want to be like that anymore. Do you think He's going to answer that prayer? Absolutely. If we yet being evil, and yet the Lord, and we see our children saying, I apologize. Forgive me. I have done wrong. I don't want to do wrong no more. Man, aren't you gonna forgive them? Aren't you gonna come down and help them in their struggle? Get nitty gritty down with their struggle and say, here, let me help you. Our loving Father was gonna do the same. But see, what the Lord can do is far greater than anything that we can do. And praise be to God. And see, as His minister, as His servant, you are to now what? Walk as Jesus walked. See, then yet now He sends you down to help out your child, to give them the words that they need, or the whatever the case may be in their struggle. That ministers unto them. But what is it that you're offering unto them? You're not offering yourself. Because that's not going to do it. No, you're going to be offering whose love? Jesus' love. Well, you're going to be offering Jesus' forgiveness. You're going to be offering His strength, His power, His might. The things that His Word, that's the thing that will transform them. That's the one that can do it. And that's what you give them. And that's what the Lord backs up with power is Him. Is He not the Word of God? Is not Jesus the Word of God? And He became flesh? And see, that's what you give. Because that's the only thing that can save. And the thing that we say that when I was talking about department from you work of iniquity, that's why you go to Him. You bring to yourself, you don't want to wait till the last day, folks, to be those words being said to you. And guess what? You don't have to wait till the last day and say, all right, let's see how this goes. I hope I pass. No. You bring yourself to account to the Lord now. Hey, Lord, I lift this up to You. Lord, I'm doing this, Lord. Hey. Lord, what is it that You would do, what You would have me do here, Lord, in this situation? Lord, how would You have me minister unto this person, Lord? Lord, this is a mess. I don't know how many times I have just put my hand on my head and say, Lord, this is a mess. I don't know what to do. Will You help me? See, that's the thing that you offer out. And then you bring yourself under the light. You subject yourself unto Him. You submit yourself unto Him. And He'll knock out all that garbage out of you. Why? Because He's faithful. We're not. He is. It's amazing how He does this. It's amazing. And all those things that are not of Him, that is pride and self-righteousness and all these things that you don't even realize that you're moving in that direction, He will then expose so you can get shed of it, so you can get more of Him, and you can yet minister who? Him. And so you come to that last day, you're not in that group of many that He says, depart from Me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. You don't want to be in that place. I want to be in that place, enter in thy good and faithful servant. Well, you know, you start bringing yourself account now. How do you bring yourself to account? You just simply, you go to Him, you go to your discipler, you just bring these things to the light yet over and over again, where you're at, what you're struggling with, what you're battling with. How you dealt with this thing. It's not for your harm. It's not for you to just to be ruled over. Yeah, I mean, the ruler should be your Lord. That's what we call Him, right? Should be your Lord. No, it's for your good. And not just your good, for others' good. It's amazing how the Lord is. It's amazing. He is an awesome God. And see, He wants the best for you. But the thing that we have, that He gives us, that He respects, is what? Free will. Free will. I was reading Jonah with my girls the other day, and Jonah, man, he really didn't want to do what the Lord wanted him to do. Now, I can relate to Jonah. And once again, that's a terrible testimony of me, but it's the truth. I can relate to Jonah. Go to Nineveh. No, I don't think so. I'm going to Tarshish. Fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Whale swallows him up. He spends 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, and really his soul was abiding in hell during that time. He cries out to the Lord, and what happens? The fish vomits him, but the Lord speaks unto him. The fish vomits him back up. Now, look, I mean, Jonah was going to go there. He was going to do it the easy way or the hard way. Now, I tell you, what I would want is the Lord to either be the easy way or the hard way. And the reason why is because I don't want to stray off that path. And but once again, the Lord did not make him do anything. When he spent 3 days in hell and 3 nights in hell, he decided that doing what the Lord says is far better than where he was at. far better. Okay, and then man, sometimes that is how it is for me. Because I will go about doing my own thing, being about my own business, being about my own thing, and it becomes absolutely crucial, miserating. I don't like it. I don't know if that's a word, miserating. It's miserable. It is what I'm trying to say. But I don't like it. Well, you know, that's a good thing. When I was out there doing my own thing, I almost died a couple of times, and by the grace of God and people praying for me and interceding for me, I did not die. But guess what? It was absolutely miserable. I praise God. Because you know why? It turned me back around unto Him. It turned me right back around unto Him. And I just look at His faithfulness and I just go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am glad. I am grateful. And it's not like, look, I done these things. It wasn't like the Lord was doing harm to me. No. I went in Satan's territory and he had free rein on me because I was a dummy and had free will. No, the Lord had nothing but good for me. Redemption, love, power, acceptance, just as I am. Just as I am, He accepted me. It was it's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. Amazing. I don't have to be anything I'm not. The Lord has accepted me just because what He has done. What He has done. Why would we not want to serve Him? Why would we not want to go and do what He would have us do? Why would we not want to receive all that He has and hang on to that old, nasty, nothing, filthy rags of our own righteousness we're trying to hang on to or trying to impress ourselves and the thing we call pride? See, we want to sing. We want to do those pray. We want to pat ourselves on the back. We want to be lifted up. We want to look special. No, man. Shouldn't be that way. Should be all about the Lord and what He has done, what He's able to do. That's what the thing we should be resting in. And man, that's an easier place. A lot far easier place. But that's what He has for you, guys. He has a bunch of cool things. His faith, His love, His power, His kingdom. Which I'm telling you, His kingdom surpasses the kingdom of this world. Absolutely surpasses it. Far above that. It's like the law of gravity in effect, lifting up over the situation. That's our Lord. That's our God. That's what we have. That's what we can have if we will receive it. But you got to get shed of the rest. You got to get shed of the rest. Remember the paper towels in the cup this past conference? That stuff's got to come. Those paper towels got to come out. So more of that water can get filled in. More of Him can come in. That pride, self-righteousness, that's got to get kicked out. That's got to go. And it simply just comes down to just getting honest with yourself, getting honest with the Lord, and bringing yourself to the light. It's really that simple, folks. It's so simple. It's very simple. And then you can sing. You can sing praises about what the Lord has done. You can yell it from a mountain. You'll be so excited at what He has done. You won't be burying that talent in the dirt, man. You'll be going and telling others all about it. You'll be that light shining in a dark world. Because the thing that you're holding up is Jesus. And He is the light. You won't be taking the candle and putting it under a bushel. You're going to let that light shine all around about. and singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," because of what He's able to do. With that, I'm done.